This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Douglas Farmer covers the Irish for NBC Sports. Huge story today about Ian Book. He's not going to go against Florida State. I guess it's a rib injury. Douglas, thanks for coming on the bench. What's the status of Book? When did all this happen?
Well, the status per Brian Kelly is day-to-day, but that really sounds like the coach speak we're all used to. The injury itself happened in the first quarter against Northwestern, which makes it all the more impressive that Book toughed it out and got Notre Dame that win, including his 23-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter. But apparently he's been real limited in practice this week, and he's out for at least this week, despite Kelly saying it's only day-to-day.
So Wimbush goes back in, and we all saw what he was capable of, both the good and the bad. How do you feel about him taking over this football game? Now, we know that Florida State has been anemic at best. They haven't been able to stop anybody. They've been getting lit up. It's got to give him some kind of confidence, but the kid still has to go out and do it, and a lot of people doubt him now.
Well, they may doubt him, but like you said, if there's a week for him to come back and play, it's this one. Florida State is not good. Even if their defense has shown some moments of respectability, the offense is not going to score in Notre Dame. Wimbush probably needs to put together two, maybe only three touchdown drives, and he's good to go. And at that point, it'll be kind of a nice redemption story. It'll be, you're right, people doubt him. He might have been booed this weekend if not for this absolute necessity. And so now he has a chance of getting a much-needed victory to keep Notre Dame in the playoff conversation. It will be interesting to see how he responds to that opportunity, a real moment to make or break his Notre Dame legacy.
When you saw him, you know, lose the gig to Book, and you're around the team a lot, how did the kid handle it?
He has handled it as well as anybody could ever expect, especially for a 22-year-old. Brian Kelly, he's had some missteps in this area before. 2016, part of that team's disaster was two quarterbacks who divided the locker room. And in this case, Kelly's been able to navigate it appropriately. And that's largely because Brandon Wimbush has handled this well, handled it maturely. According to Kelly, at halftime, when they're trying to figure out what's going wrong with the offense, it's Wimbush that is talking to Book and walking him through coverages that maybe Book hasn't seen before. And so that, you really do need to give the 22-year-old credit in all those regards.
So Douglas Farmer covers Notre Dame for NBC Sports. Let's talk about the reality of their situation. Because in South Bend, I know I used to go to every game in my childhood. I saw Montana play every game he ever played at Notre Dame. And I was lucky enough to be around for all of that. And it was crazy. So I know that when they see, this is the same thing when Lou Holtz was there. When they see the finish line, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel with, if they can handle their business, they're going to be in something very big, as you know, this playoff. They have to win these games. When you see them now, they have to know how they can taste it. How serious are they taking these games that they need to finish the deal and get into that playoff if they want to be the Irish that everybody expects, a championship team?
There was a day when Notre Dame would kind of take the situation for granted. Like you said, the Montana days, the Holtz days, it got to be assumed Notre Dame would put together these situations and handle them well. But in the last 4 or 5 years, it has not been the case for Notre Dame. So this team is really looking at this very seriously, does not want to overlook anybody. Even if Florida State is 4-5, going to miss a bowl game for the first time in nearly four decades, Notre Dame knows some of the talent on that team. And Notre Dame remembers Miami last year and Stanford in 2015. It's not going to overlook anybody because it's been close the last couple of seasons and had nothing to show for it.
You know, Douglas, Syracuse had Clemson in Death Valley by the throat, and then they had some backup Bryce march him down the field and burn him at the last second. But, I mean, Syracuse has proven that they can score. They got a good quarterback, Dungy. They have a lot going for them. Is that game a worry for you? I know you got to worry about Florida State, but let's get real here for a minute. Is that the game that worries you and not the USC game?
Absolutely. It's and it would be so fitting for Notre Dame to move a game to Yankee Stadium and have that be the game that ends a national championship possible run. That is the team that is worrisome. Dino Babers has shown time and time again these last few seasons that he's going to have Syracuse ready when somebody like Notre Dame is around. If there is somebody who can pull this off, I don't think it's Florida State. It'd be a shock if it's USC. But Syracuse, quite frankly, it would be an upset. But they're a top 15 team. It's not like it would come out of nowhere.
When you go to the game at the Coliseum in Los Angeles, have you ever thought about not coming back home because it's so nice when you're out there that you just thought maybe
I call it my favorite week of the year because I'll go out Wednesday or Thursday and get a few extra days out there.
Right.
You better guess. I'm reluctant to get on that flight back.
Is there anything worse? Because I grew up in Valparaiso, Indiana, and then I lived in Pittsburgh my whole life. So that's what I refer to in Portuguese as gray. So all I know is that when I went out to L.A. for the first time ever, I stayed for 12 years. I started surfing, smoking weed, the whole deal. I didn't know whether I was coming or going, chicks in bikinis. And then I'm sitting there trenching around South Bend with, you know, snow boots on, freezing my ass off at a, you know, November football game with my dad. I mean, it's freezing there. So when you go out there, you can see how they could lose a game like that. It's just all the palm trees and the women. I mean, it's just horrible.
It's a special life. I had the privilege of interning with the LA Times a few years back, and it was tough to get myself back to the Midwest.
As a fan of
Notre Dame, you have to remember, they pulled it off in 2012. The final game of the year was at USC, and they went out there, and they focused well enough to pull off that win. And if there was ever a week to be distracted, it's when you're 11-0 and suddenly, unexpectedly, the number one team in the country.
Do you think that they could actually go to that playoff and do damage to either one of those teams, Alabama or Clemson? Because I'm not smart enough tonight on whatever, November 8th, to figure out which one they're playing. But if they make it, do you think you could beat either one of them?
I'm not supposed to say no, but no. I have a friend texting me earlier tonight with, here's the outlandish situation in which Notre Dame could win the national championship, and it involves this Big Ten upset, this Big 12 upset, and Central Florida beating Alabama, and my only response was, you're wrong. Clemson's defensive line would embarrass Notre Dame. Notre Dame is in better shape than it's been in years, but Clemson and Alabama have truly separated from the pack.
Yeah, they have. So you had mentioned before, like, the way the coach speaks stuff is, and in, you know, Spanish, I thought I recognized that conversation as that Brian Kelly is somewhat painful to deal with. As a reporter and as a journalist and a guy that loves sports like you, what's he like to cover? Is it painful or is it smooth?
I wouldn't say that at all. It's what I was referring to. He wouldn't rule out Ian Book. It's every coach in America at this point won't commit to a starting quarterback if they have any way to leave wiggle room. It's they like to think it gives the opposition something more to think about. But Willie Taggart and Florida State know by now that Brandon Wimbush is starting, and that when Kelly says it's day-to-day, it's just semantics. Brian Kelly has actually become quite casual in his interactions with the media the last couple of seasons. It's been a real nice change of pace in that respect. He's never been off-putting or difficult to work with, but he's a head coach at Notre Dame. He's got to keep in mind certain things. But the last few seasons, he's gotten comfortable in the position entirely, and it's kind of a unique thing to see from a Notre Dame head football coach.
Does he love that gig? I mean, there's been talk of him, you know, over the years, whether he would go to the NFL. I don't think he should ever leave that job if he doesn't have to. You know what I mean?
Well, the last two seasons make it seem like he might not have to. 2 years ago, you thought he was on the hot seat, and there were people taking out billboard ads and newspaper ads to get him fired. But 2 years in a row now, they're going to win 10-plus games, you know, assuming they can win one of the next three. And he's really changed things there. It would be a shock to see somebody who, 57 or 58, head to the NFL at that age. The NFL coaches are starting to skew younger, even if a little bit slowly. Kelly's got a good thing at Notre Dame. He's in his ninth season right now. Another couple, his contract extends through 2021. Another couple, and maybe he's done his run. And it would be an impressive run just because Notre Dame coaches don't last a decade.
Do you think that he's
Lou Holtz and Brian Kelly, apparently.
Do you think that he's one of the you know, best coaches Notre Dame's had. Where do you put him in the sleeve of coaches that they've had? A lot of good ones.
You know, a colleague of mine recently described Lou Holtz as the last statue. As I'm sure you remember, Notre Dame has statues of all the coaches who won national titles around the football stadium. And the list will forever run just those five: Rockne, Leahy, Parsegian, Devine, Holtz. It'll forever be those five unless somebody wins a title. So Brian Kelly might be number six, but number six doesn't matter at Notre Dame until you win a national championship.
So I got how I got to do all those Notre Dame games was my dad was good friends with Devine, and that's how I knew him because of his days in Columbia, Missouri. So my dad was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's where he, you know, that's where they got him. They plucked him from, and then he had been at Missouri and whatever, and that's how my dad knew him and whatever. And then the next thing I knew, I had, you know, literally four for every Notre Dame game that he ever played. I even went to that Cotton Bowl in 79. I was a huge Notre Dame fan as a kid, and Joe Montana, I mean, can you imagine? Like, I watched that guy play from college, his first day there, literally through the NFL. Like, it's like watching, you know, it was like people talk about Brady now. You know, it was that's how they talked about him back then because he was the man. When the Niners got rid of him, it was like the end of the world. It was like when Gretzky left the Oilers and went to the Kings in that trade. It was one of those shocking moments when Joe Montana left. I've done this on NFL Network as well. Like, I don't think they make him like that anymore, Montana. I mean, can you imagine, like, watching that, seeing that guy from Notre Dame all the way to the end? You saw it. You see what happens.
I can only hardly imagine. It's as far as college goes, yes, I've seen it a few times. Brady Quinn, Jimmy Clausen, both had their good runs, but neither one obviously was able to stretch it out in the NFL. And it really is, at this point, the Bradys and the Rodgers and the Mannings, and that's about it. They don't exist anymore.
So do you love covering them?
I enjoy the perks of the gig, but I think you know well enough every job has its pros and cons. I haven't slept more than 4 hours in 10 weeks, and that weekend in L.A. is looking better and better.
Listen, go to the beach, man, and take care of yourself there. I'm a little worried about you, Douglas, but great stuff on the Irish tonight. Let's see how Wimbush does. This is a huge test for him, and hopefully Book will get back for the last two, which that Syracuse game at Yankee Stadium is going to be enormous. Hopefully he'll be ready for that. We'll catch up with you and see how they fare the rest of the way. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Thanks for having me. Take it easy.
All right, Douglas Farmer, who wants to be on a beach in Southern California right now desperately. He hasn't slept in weeks. These things happen all the time on the show. Carver High averages about 3 hours a night. I sleep 3 hours a night, but then I'll sleep 2.5, 3 hours in the day. I got to have a siesta in the day. Otherwise, I'll fall asleep driving home with Mafia, or I'll get in a fist fight somewhere.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.